Hi, I'm Brian Gale. This is Our Recourse, a one-hour Catholic radio show on In His Sign Network. Our guest today is Bud McFarlane. You've heard him on this show before. When he was on the last time, we talked about the Knights of the Immaculate. Bud is one of the leaders in the United States, in particular for the Mid-Atlantic region, of the Great Knights of the Immaculate. Incidentally, yesterday was the 75th anniversary of the great St. Maximilian Kolbe's martyrdom at Auschwitz under the hands of the Nazis. But today we're going to talk about Our Lady. It is the Feast of the Assumption, August 15, and this show is dedicated to her. She was the hero, the heroine actually, the North Star in St. Maximilian Kolbe's life, and has consecrated souls, Bud and I, and many, many others, about 1,000 in this region actually, 3 million throughout the world in 50 countries, are dedicated. We have consecrated our lives to the Immaculate. So today we're going to talk about Our Lady and what she is saying to us in this age. There is no greater expert in the Catholic Church here in America than our dear friend Bud McFarlane, who has become widely known as a speaker and an expert on Marian apparitions, those that the Church considers authentic. He also knows about the others, but we speak here only about those that are authentic. So we are delighted to have joined with us today, Bud McFarlane, Sr. Bud, welcome.
Hello?
Buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay. Welcome. Did you hear that introduction?
Yes, I did. Thank you.
All right. I just wanted to make sure you're with us all the way. It's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Of the Assumption of Our Blessed Mother. Only the Feast of the Immaculate Conception is more noteworthy in the Church's liturgical calendar. This is a great, great feast day. Bud, why don't we begin with your own journey toward your great love for the Immaculate?
Well, I used to call my mother Our Lady of the Rosary. We would always pray the Rosary together wherever we went. Myself and my sisters, and especially in her older age when I was picking her up and dropping her off. Always prayed the Rosary together. So I had a devotion to the Blessed Mother Rosary, Mom. And obviously going all through Catholic school education, through the college, just had a major impact on my spiritual formation. And one of the major things that happened to me later in life was I went to Niagara Falls on a day trip. And there was a low airline on People's Airlines, $19 each way or something. My wife and I went just in the afternoon on Friday. And at the gift shop there, I see a book, A Lady of Fatima. And it happened right after May 13th. The Pope had gone and placed a bullet in the crown of the Blessed Mother and went after the child. By the mother stopping with him. And another bullet was in the barrel of the gun that had been fired but didn't come out of the barrel. In any event, I picked the book up and I said, I got to find out about this Our Lady of Fatima. I said, I know about her, heard about her, but not. I don't know anything. So I bought the book and I took it back to the hotel room. I didn't sleep all night. I stayed up all night and read the book, and from that moment on, I became intense. Investigator first, and then preacher and evangelist about the Blessed Mother and her apparitions and messages for the time and what they happened and for today. That was how it all started. Then I started going on pilgrimages with my wife and business trips to Europe. I take a couple of days off and try to cite the Blessed Mother. So started about 30 then. The Knights of Columbus, just the night, Bosco, they asked me to go. I said, sure, if it's spoken by the Lady of Fatima. That's how it all started.
Hey, Bud, you're breaking up on us, and my engineer is telling me we have a bad connection. Would it be possible for you to call us back and maybe on another line or on a landline?
No phone.
Thank you. All right. Sorry for the technical difficulties. We were just reminiscing with Bud about how he began to be attracted to the Immaculate. He has a great devotion to this woman that we all love so much. Incidentally, just small coincidence, but about 50 years ago, I made my first trip just down the street from that great site of Marian devotion, Our Lady of Fatima, up there in Lewiston, actually. It's on Ridge Road, and I had a college roommate. We were baseball players at LaSalle. He's now the athletic director at LaSalle University, Bill Bradshaw, and he lived on River Road, just down the street from that site. So there was Bud, you know, down the street a little bit further, doing his work to understand who this great lady was. And then up the street a little bit, there was me, not really having an idea about very much in my life. Anyway, they tell me Bud is back, and we can get him back on. Bud? Bud, are you back on?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's much better. Thank you. Just talking, you were on River Road. I myself made my first trip there to River Road about 50 years ago, but I didn't stop at that Marian site, and I was talking about the irony of that. You were just down the road a little bit, and you were getting a head start on your devotion to this great lady. So I don't know where we left off, but it was you picked up a book, you brought it home, you began to read it, and you could not put it down, and it was about a miracle.
Yeah, it was a Lady of Fatima, and it really just changed my whole life. It was the Shrine of Our Lady of Fatima in Lewiston, New York, which was the closest Catholic church that we could go to Holy Sacrifice and Mass, and going daily. And that's how it all started. And I saw the book was published by the Blue Army, and so I started going to the Blue Army on the 13th of May, 13th of June, with my wife and my mom and her mom. And I met John Hafford, who became one of my best friends. He's the founder of the Blue Army. God rest his soul. It's amazing where the Holy Spirit works. I always thought I was going to be in show business.
Yeah, I want to get to that, but I also want to tell our listeners that you and Pat have 12 children, 11 alive, one in heaven. You have, I believe, close to 40, is it, grandchildren?
Yeah. We have 39 here, and little Henry's in the womb. Our first granddaughter, our first grandchild to get married, granddaughter, is got married in January, and she's expecting a baby beginning of December.
I wonder why.
So, that'll be number 40, which such a blessing. Children are such a blessing. I give out these little bookmarks every day. I gave them out this morning. Wherever I go, I see people with younger children, I give it to them. And it says, children are a gift from God. And a little picture of a baby on the bookmark. Yeah.
Well, 12 children, 40 grandchildren. I mean, it's breathtaking. It's breathtaking. No wonder, you know, you're a source of life and light to so many of us, Bud. I want to talk a little bit about our dear Immaculate Mother and what she is saying to our generation of men. And I know that St. Max taught that the second page in salvation history, as he put it, was turned when she appeared to St. Catherine Labouré at Rue de Bac, where I know you were. You were there several times in Paris, France. And at that time, her pastor, St. Catherine Labouré's pastor, asked St. Catherine to ask the woman that was appearing to her in the little church there what her favorite prayer was. And she came back and told the pastor, the lady said her favorite prayer is, O Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. By the way, hence the name of the show, Our Recourse, because that's who the Immaculate ultimately is. She is our grand intercessor. She is our recourse to our Heavenly Father, His Son, and Holy Spirit. But in your judgment, maybe you could just begin to talk a little bit about what she's telling modern man and postmodern man in our time.
Well, one of the things that would certainly benefit modern man would be to do the easy research that's available both on the internet and in terms of books about the various apparitions of the Blessed Mother and the messages. Here it is. The Mother of God is given the mission by God to be the mediator of all graces and to come to us and give us messages relative as to what's happening that isn't pleasing to God and what we can do to change things and to evangelize the good news of the Catholic faith. So, I mean, all of you, starting with, you know, the major one started with Guadalupe in Mexico in 1531. And from then on, it started getting much more closer in time. You know, in St. Margaret Mary and the Sacred Heart. And then, as you say, the Miraculous Mail, that's one of my favorite apparition sites in Paris, in the heart of Paris. And so I think that this young nun sees the Blessed Mother, and she appears, and the Blessed Mother gives her mission. Have a medal struck after this image. Those who wear it with faith will receive extraordinary graces. This is just, St. Maximilian Kolbe said his first Mass at the Church of San Andrea della Frate in Rome because of his devotion to Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. He called them his little silver bullets. He had them with him everywhere, as I do, and as most knights do, have them in our pocket to give out to people when the Spirit inspires us and the occasion does. But and right after that, not long, that was approved by the Church. It was only 1830, November 27th, and within 5 or 6 years, it was approved. The medal was made. Everybody was there. It was called the Medal of the Immaculate Conception, and there were so many miracles happening relative to people who were wearing the Miraculous Medal that they changed the name to the Miraculous Medal. And then you have that famous story of Alphonse Ratisbonne. Not many people today are aware of what happened right after this medal became a part of our sacramental life. He was a Jewish man on visiting Rome with a friend, a baron, and he hated the Catholic Church. His brother had converted and become a Catholic priest, and he wouldn't even talk to his brother anymore. And his friend kept pestering him, talking about the faith, because the friend was also a Jew who converted. And to shorten the story, he was going past this church of San Andrea della Frate. He had to go in to make some funeral arrangements, inspiring for a friend. And he asked Alphonse to come in, and he had been, for the previous 2 weeks, he had asked him to pray the Memorare every day in the morning and at night, and to wear this Miraculous Medal as a favor to him. And reluctantly, he did it just to please him. He says, "I don't know me any good, or not going to do me any harm, so fine." And he did it. So when he walks into the church of San Andrea della Frate, he sees the Blessed Mother appearing as she appears on the Miraculous Medal. He receives instantly a complete and total understanding of all the teachings and truths of the Catholic Church, completely sees them, and they come into his mind and heart and soul. It's the greatest miracle, by the way, declared a miracle by the Holy Father within 6 months of it happening. He was engaged to marry his niece. He breaks that, obviously, and goes and becomes a Catholic priest, and then ultimately forms an order of priests to convert Jews to Christianity. Unbelievable story.
And dies a bishop.
Right after it happened. So and by the way, that's why St. Maximilian Kolbe, when he was in Rome, his first Mass when he was ordained was at the Church of San Andrea della Frate.
I was saying that man died a bishop. The man you talked about, Alphonse Ratisbonne, he had this virulent hatred for the Catholic Church and all things Catholic. And ultimately, through the power of the Miraculous Medal, which he just wore, as you say, as a favor, he ends up taking a different turn in his life, and he ends up dying a bishop.
Oh, yeah. By the way, the timing of all this is so significant for today. We have the dogma of the Immaculate Conception is proclaimed in 1854. But the United States of America, our bishops, consecrated our country to the Blessed Mother under the title of her Immaculate Conception in 1846. 8 years before that.
Wow.
That's why we've been so blessed. And we could just go one right after another. And isn't it significant that when you think of all the different visionaries to whom our Blessed Mother appeared, or Jesus, in the case of St. Faustina, first saint of the new millennium, St. Bernadette of Lourdes, St. Catherine Laboure, St. Margaret Mary of the Sacred Heart, it's no coincidence, they all became saints. Not just because of their association with it, because of the lives that they were leading before and after. And that's our call.
And we have, after that, of course, we have Lord. Lord was, what, 1852, Bud? 1858. 1858, so 28 years later.
Bernadette Soubirous. Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about what happened at Lord.
Well, Lord's, unfortunately, when my wife and I wouldn't say every year, but most years on the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, we watch the movie. I have it on an old VHS. We still have a player. We watch that movie. It is such a phenomenally inspiring movie. Mm. And Bernadette wins the Academy Award.
Mm.
A Catholic. Mm-hmm. And that was the book written about it wasn't even by a Catholic. Hans Werfel, yeah. Oh, what a fantastic story of the miracle of Lourdes and how many pilgrims go there for miracles to this day. And you and I have friends that went there and bathed in the water and had a miracle relative to, you know, being able to conceive children. It's just an extraordinary story. Ongoing. The miracles are ongoing.
Well, can I please tell you just one quick story? Our listeners might find this interesting. John O'Rourke, one of our brother knights, Bud knows him well, mentored him as well as he has me and many others, became a Knight of Malta as well as a Knight of the Immaculate. And a dear friend of ours contracted cancer, stomach cancer, and went through the stages pretty quickly, and sure enough, within several years, it became fourth stage, final stage. He had been away from the church for many, many years. In fact, he really had a hostility, even though he was one of eight children, wonderful parents. He himself had a hostility to the Catholic Church, so much so that he really didn't like seeing us, even if we went to visit him as he got sick. He really would be polite and everything, but he would kind of stand and usher us to the door. He didn't really want to hear too much about us. Anyway, John O'Rourke, ever the persistent Irishman, never gave up. And he just constantly came and brought him things to read, miraculous medals, obviously. Long story short, against all odds, he convinced this man in his final stage with cancer of getting on a plane with the Knights of the Immaculate and the other malades, the others who are terminally ill, flying to Lourdes, and this May he makes a visit to Lourdes. And he comes back, and the next thing you know, he's calling John O'Rourke and asking him if he would please bring him the Eucharist. Well, within a month, he dies. And he dies within an hour of having received the last rites and a plenary indulgence and the Eucharist from the pastor in St. Margaret's Parish, and with John at his side, wearing a miraculous medal with a rosary from Lourdes around his hands, his fingers. True story, just happened.
Oh my goodness, so inspiring.
So when you say ongoing, you mean ongoing. It is ongoing. It just continues again and again. He didn't go there really expecting to be healed of final stage cancer. He didn't. He went because he just really wanted to shut John O'Rourke up more than anything else, and he was curious to see what all the fuss was about over there. And at 64 years old, he died in the state of grace in his own bed, surrounded by love. I'd say Our Lady heard his prayer.
Oh, my God. What a story. Well, she'll never give up on anybody. Never give up. Jesus, I mean, when we make the 9-day novena of the Divine Mercy Chapel, novena, each 8-9 different groups of sorrows, we never give up. Because God's mercy never gives up. It's always there, ready. Ask and you shall receive. And I use the term all the time when I see a recent movie or something. Love transforms. You have to begin with being loving towards that person in as many ways as possible, so that they're more receptive then to God's grace to change. By the way, you mentioned about St. Catherine Lamoureux, I just was reading recently an old magazine article on it, and she, before the apparitions took place, for 90 days, every day when she walked into the chapel after she first joined the order, she saw Jesus as Christ the King, appearing to her, 90 days. And just, there's so many Eucharistic connections between, as you said with your friend here, between an apparition or a miracle or words. Look at Blessed Mother Mary. All four of those apparitions of Jesus and about the Sacred Heart over a period of time, 1873, December 1673, excuse me, I'll get the century right, 1670. They were all, he appeared to those four times from the monstrous. It's just, and even though we have, for me, for sure, my most favorite spiritual reading outside of the scriptures is the diary of My Mercy and My Soul. Jesus dictating to St. Faustina, the first thing, as we said before, the new millennium. This plan for now. Divine Mercy and My Soul is about now. What are the plans? It's for now. And what we have to do now for ourselves and everybody else. Because we're the mystical body of Jesus Christ with the same mission he has, evangelize, sanctify, and convert the world, not to save souls. But every single word that Jesus dictated to her, either when she was in front of Jesus in the tabernacle or in the monstrance, every word in that Bible. Just never stops the connection between his real presence, the Eucharistic Jesus, and his mission for us.
And you know, but I'm fascinated that Our Lady, what did she have to say, if anything, at Rudebach? What did she have to say at Lourdes, if anything, other than I am the Immaculate Conception, her identity statement?
Well, I remember when pray for the conversion of sinners. That was a major message at Lourdes. Pray, it's always pray in Our Lady of Fatima. Pray the rosary every day for peace in the world. And that's when she... And by the way, that first apparition on May 13th, 1917, at that time, that was the feast day of Our Lady of the Most Blessed Sacrament. The unending connection between our Eucharistic Jesus, I am going to be with you now in John's scripture. At the end of the world. He's with us. 18,000 parishes, how many other places in the United States alone, how blessed we are, how blessed a country we are for our Eucharistic Jesus to be with us everywhere. And what is the mission? It's always the same mission. What's the mission is to save souls. Jesus is the Savior of what? Souls from hell. This ultimate reality, once we leave life here, we exist forever. From that moment of conception, we now become eternal in a sense going forward. And ultimately, we're going to be one of two places, heaven or hell. And God wants, even the scriptures use me, he takes no pleasure in the death or the loss of souls. He wants us to give this gift of his ultimate divine mercy that he gives us his own son to suffer as Jesus suffered to save souls. And he uses us as his Catholic Church's mystical body to carry out the mission. Just our priests and bishops, you know, we're kind of like their workers. And they're the management, and we're the workers. We're all part with the same mission. You and all of our knights that we know, not from a bragging standpoint, but from an absolute necessity standpoint, we know how valuable to each of us is praying that rosary every day, praying the Chapel of Divine Mercy every day. And even more important, the highest form of prayer that can be, not just for yourself, but for everybody and your special intentions and everybody in the church and everybody in the world, is to participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The daily miracle, the continuation of Calvary. And then Jesus gives us this gift of God Himself from God Himself, His precious body and blood, soul, and humanity.
Bud, we're going to have to break away on commercial. Will you please stay with us?
Sure, I'd love to.
I just want to note for our listeners that we know we began speaking with Bud McFarlane about Our Lady and her apparitions on the Feast of the Assumption and what she has and has been saying to mankind. And you'll notice that Bud gravitated quickly to our Lord in His most holy Eucharist. And we all know that Our Lady and our devotion to her leads us inextricably, endlessly, relentlessly to our Lord in His body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's just the reality of it. We're going to break for a commercial, as we promised, actually two. One for our sponsor, McGuire Hayden Real Estate, and then from In His Sign Network. First, let me just tell you that this show, our recourse, is sponsored by the McGuire Hayden Real Estate Company. Excuse me. The company has been hailed as one of the Delaware Valley's most respected commercially integrated real estate investment and operating firms. The principals, Jim McGuire and Tony Hayden, are highly accomplished businessmen and well-known benefactors of many Catholic causes in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and beyond, actually. Their company owns and operates over 4 million square feet of what is widely considered to be Class A commercial real estate space here in the Mid-Atlantic region, and it's a balanced mix of environmentally friendly industrial warehouses and suburban office buildings. Tenants say that McGuire Hayden are very, very good landlords. They're always willing to work closely with us, they tell us, to find and configure, and if necessary, to reconfigure their own commercial office space to better fit their needs. Each of these men has a genuine commitment to Catholic education. I know that myself firsthand. And they credit Catholic education in large measure for their great success. Jim McGuire, of course, many of us know of him. He is the founding father of Cristo Rey, a Catholic high school for inner-city students. Jim has funded scholarships, if you can believe it, for over 3,000 young people. They are known as the McGuire Scholars. He's also the founder of the unique McGuire Hayden Intern Program for high school seniors whose families live below the poverty line. Each intern must work one day a week at McGuire Hayden in exchange for full tuition at a private high school. Our brother in the Immaculate, Tony Hayden, is a co-founder and the chairman of the board of Regina Angelorum Academy. He is, more importantly, a husband and father of five terrific young children, all of whom are in Regina Angelorum Academy. The Academy, as some of you know, offers an authentically classical education for 130 students already, pre-K through 8th grade. It's part of the Regina Academy's network, and it will begin its ninth year of operation in a few weeks. Again, at Ardmore, St. Coleman's, what used to be St. Coleman's School. I should note in closing that McGuire Hayden provide jobs for over 20 men and women. Many of them are graduates of our own Catholic schools here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And now a word from In His Sign.
Hey, this is Maria Richardson. I've been working in church ministry for many years, and I want to take this opportunity to thank God for Kathleen McCarthy. Kathleen is an amazing woman of God who has been blessed with many gifts and talents for His service. She is so connected to Jesus, and His Holy Spirit speaks through her in so many ways, through her words, her actions, her prayers, and her wisdom. Kathleen has been an inspiration and a mentor to me personally for so long, and it is a great joy to know that In His Sign Radio has allowed her to become a blessing to so many people. She is a gift that must be shared, and I, for one, am very grateful. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
We are back on Our Recourse, and we are back with Bud McFarlane, a great Knight of the Immaculate, a Knight of Columbus, incidentally, husband of Pat McFarlane, a grand lady. They are the father and mother of 12 children and 40 grandchildren, if you can believe it. And we are talking on this grand feast of the Assumption of Our Blessed Lady into Heaven about what Our Lady has been saying over and over again to modern man and postmodern man here in our time, our generation of men, from Rudabach on, 1830 in Paris. We went through Lourdes, which was 1858, as Bud told us. And then we just broached the subject of Our Lady's appearance at Fatima in 1917. And maybe, Bud, we could pick up there as in this little journey from 1830 in Paris, 1858 in Lourdes, France, and finally 1917 in Fatima, Portugal. What did Our Lady have to say, and why was that so important that John Paul II said that he declared the message of Fatima more urgent than ever before? This was a year to the hour after he was almost assassinated. What was it about the message of Fatima that John Paul II thought was so urgent?
Well, that's when I was first called Our Lady of the Rosary. She said, "I am the Lady of the Rosary." And she talked about the importance of the Rosary. She also gave the children a vision. And in one of the visions, the children saw souls falling into hell like snowflakes, especially because of sexual sins. And this is 1970. Imagine today with what's happened in terms of the media and everything, and what's happened on our souls and everyone's souls. But it's the power of the Rosary now in 14. By the way, just referencing again the importance of the Rosary with St. Louis de Montfort, the number one book outside of the Holy Scriptures is The Secret of the Rosary. Right? The Rosary itself has 14. In 1461, the Blessed Mother gave the Blessed Alan de la Roche the 15 promises of the Rosary. And just a couple of them. I promised my special protection and the greatest graces to all those who recite the Rosary. It shall be a powerful armor against hell and will destroy vice and decrease sin and defeat heresies. I like these two. I quote all the time when I give presentations. You shall obtain all you ask in me. The recitation of the Rosary, that's number 11. Number 13, I have obtained from my divine Son that all those advocates of the Rosary shall have for their intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and at the hour of death. But every single one of the promises is so encouraging. It's kind of like the secret weapon, you know, the the 60-round weapon, you know, with this round beads that we have, and we all know the value of it, especially now even we have not just three separate different rosaries for each day, but we have on Thursdays now the John Paul again gave us the unbelievable rosary on the Thursdays of each week as well. And I love each one of those things, you know, especially the fifth one, the priesthood, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It's just, there's no more powerful prayer weapon here in my family. The family rosary, the family that prays together, stays together. Father Patrick Peyton had that famous radio and TV show about the rosary back in the late 40s and early 50s. And she gave us, unfortunately, some predictions if mankind did not respond to her wishes, especially relative to war and rumors of wars, as we hear in the scriptures, but wars in which whole nations could be annihilated before anybody even heard about the nuclear bombs, atomic bombs. And we would have it in the news. What do we talk about today? Iran and North Korea. We could go on and on about, you know, the threat where, especially the United States of America, we're the good guys. We do so much good for the rest of the world, and yet we're the ones that's hated. And what did Jesus say? You're going to be persecuted and hated because of me. So the rosary, there's that message there. And what she also took the children, they were taken down into hell and shown hell and shown the souls up in hell. As was St. Teresa of Avila, as was St. Faustina taken by Jesus. Just to kind of emphasize the reality of it. No one, we wouldn't want anyone, even the worst enemy, to suffer all eternity in the endless fires of hell, in a psychological depression, knowing that why you're there and that it's no end. I can't even think about it. I don't like to talk about it. It's too depressing. So, use all of our weapons. And the weapon that Faustina again gets a new weapon for us in the 1930s, 33 to 38, in the Divine Mercy Chaplet, all right, which we say on the Rosary. Another powerful weapon. In the 9-day novena of Divine Mercy, we pray over and over again every 9 days for a different group of souls. Always emphasizing the mercy of God and what this Pope we have now, Francis I, that's this constant theme is about God's mercy, and here we are in the year of mercy. You know, there should be nothing more merciful than give to people in a sensitive way, but a highly loving and effective way, the truth about our Catholic faith, power of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the power of Eucharistic adoration. Again, we're so blessed. No country in the world has the many perpetual adoration chapels in the United States. We have over 850. New Jersey has 24, just a small little state of New Jersey. Perpetual adoration, plus just daily adoration in so many parishes. She's telling us that these are the dangerous times. But St. John Bosco's vision, that most people are aware of it in general, the twin pillars of the faith, and on May 30th, 1862, he had a vision of our times right now with the ship in a terrible battle with all of its enemies. It looks like it's going to get sunk, and the Pope's in front of the ship and is wounded and falls and rises again. And then is replaced by another Pope, and then twin pillars come out of the ocean and rise up, kind of Greek pillars on the top of the one. On the right, as you look at it, the Blessed Mother, and it says, Auxilium Christian Arm, Alpha Christian. And the other pillar, even larger and more dominant, was the host, Salus Credentium, a Eucharistic Jesus, the salvation of believers. And these twin pillars, anchors come down and attach themselves to the ship, to the pillars, and it's pulled through all of the enemies who are destroyed and into the shore with these other. So we have the twin pillars weapon, a Eucharistic Jesus, which is available, the daily miracle, everywhere in the United States, no place like it in the world. 250,000 to 500,000 people every single day in the United States are so blessed to be able to participate in the miracle of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and receive the body and blood of Jesus. Truly, his body and blood. I mean, that's these are the times right now where it's been more important than ever to follow the teachings of the church from every standpoint, to get as many people as possible. There are so many nice, wonderful people that we all know who are not living in the state of sanctifying grace. Mm. And they're not evil people. They just are indifferent because they don't understand. We don't have an effective evangelization program on the twin pillars, and especially the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and what a gift it is, not an obligation, a gift.
Is that why? Is that where the St. Max's silver bullets come in, just actually asking someone maybe that you suspect may not be active in the faith to just take it as a gift and put it in their wallet or in their purse or on their person or whatever, but just allow the presence of the Immaculate to be part of their life, hidden, forgotten, whatever, and do her work and do the bidding of the Holy Spirit? Is that the way that we reach people that otherwise we just can't seem to be able to persuade, that this, as the great Pope Benedict said, he said, you know, life is really he said it's an unrepeatable reality upon which rides an eternal destiny. How do we convince our brothers and sisters who believe that there's not four last things, there's only two last things? There's death, and then there's heaven. There's no judgment, and there's no possibility of something other than heaven. Hell, which Our Lady spoke about to the children at Fatima and to all the world. How do we do that, if not through the power of certainly our own sacrifices, on behalf of other souls, which Our Lady can multiply graces for when we offer them to her. But St. Maximilian Kolbe's silver bullets that you talked about later, just getting one of those on a person or on a possession of a person in a wallet or something must be a way of helping them, allowing them to be more open to the Holy Spirit in their lives. Don't you think?
Absolutely. It breaks the mother called St. Catherine, the miraculous mother. Those who wear this with faith will receive extraordinary graces, which is God's help to us in those areas of our life that we need it the most. I gave one to somebody recently, and they were so appreciative. They were going in for some surgery or whatever. It's, as Max said, the silver bullet. It's got extraordinary graces attached to it. And that's all of the, you know where we can start evangelizing like this, and especially in today's society, is in our immediate and our next level of family relationships. When it comes to a birthday gift or some kind of an occasion, buy them a miraculous medal and give them the medal.
That's a great
little story about it. And you do the same thing with the scapular and the rosary. My youngest child, Catherine, is here with her husband, Stephen, and six children from San Diego for 9 days last week and the week before. And all of their children are wearing a scapular and a miraculous medal. Because they're involved in their parish and the parish life and the parochial school system there. That doesn't mean you can have the same benefits if you're not going to a parochial school, but it's the family that prays together, stays together, family life. So that's the greatest place to start. Or give somebody the book of Secret of the Roses. It's not a big long novel. It's just each beat on that rose explained here. So beautifully by St. Louis de Montfort. The Curia of Ars, Prayers of the Curia of Ars, the Thoughts of the Curia of Ars. There's so many great booklets that are available to us. And how many even sweet stories of the saints that were changed because somebody gave them a book, a religious book that they read. And we can go to some of the great saints where their lives were changed by a spiritual youth.
Well, you know, to your point about the miraculous medal, before I left to come over here to the studio here in Garrett Hill, actually, part of Rosemont. By the way, this network is consecrated to the Immaculate through St. Maximilian Kolbe. It's called St. Maximilian Kolbe Studio, by the way. Anyway, Don Tracy, one of our dear knights, brother knights, emails me, and he says, could you identify for me the source by which we get our big miraculous medals, the ones with the blue bands that we give out to all our new knights coming in at each of our for our annual retreats in November of every year. And of course, Tom Oswald is the man who goes and gets them and buys them and brings them down. And as you know, we end our each retreat by the priest who was directing us putting the miraculous medal around the neck of each and every new knight as we all stand and profess and reprofess our consecration of the Immaculate. Anyway, Don wants to know because he and this wonderful lady, Wendy, are getting married. She's a great pro-life film maker. And by the way, she is a colleague and a partner of David Dalyden, who created the 10 videos that we all saw at this time last summer, where Planned Parenthood were dividing up the spoils of these unborn children and selling them in piece parts. But Wendy is a part of that, a great, great Catholic woman. She and Don are getting married in October, particularly because it's the month of Our Lady and the Rosary. And they would like to be able to buy and give, as a gift, their gift, to each and every person who comes to their wedding, to your point, a miraculous medal, and have the priest put it around their neck. And I just can't think, I've never heard of such a thing, and I can't think of a better thing to do or gift to give people who take the time to honor the sacrament and this couple by coming and receiving the miraculous medal of Mary.
Oh, what a beautiful, I've never heard that before, it's so inspiring. By the way, I was also thinking about when Jesus gave Christina the Diamond of Divine Mercy. He refers to this now, being in the age of Divine Mercy, where this is the most dangerous times we need to be talking about is Divine Mercy more than anything else, as a new emphasis, not getting rid of the other important faith. But I get online as part of my tithing. I get the Divine Mercy book at a very low discounted price relative to, you know, getting the big picture one. It's slightly smaller, but has that word in it. I have them in both of my cars in the trunk. I just gave a few orders this week. And say to someone, you want a real spiritual treasure? Here's the battle plan for now, right here. Here's the enlightenment. Well, Jesus himself knew what was happening here, and he wanted us to be aware of it, and that's why he chose the first saint of the new millennium to be his secretary of mercy. It's now. It's another very powerful book, along with all the other extraordinarily powerful and inspiring books that we have on the faith.
Well, you know, I think you make a very important point here. Literally, as I was going out the door, my wife handed me a phone, and a dear young friend of mine who was in the financial advice business called to tell me he and his wife had just finished Father Gately's 33 Days to Merciful Love program this morning on the Feast of the Assumption, and went on and on about what it was like and what an extraordinary gift it was. And many of our listeners would know Father Gately, who gave a retreat to We Knights in 2013. Bud was there. I was there. They know him because of 33 Days to Morning Glory, a book about Marian consecration, a Marian consecration program based on the thoughts and the writings of John Paul II and Maximilian Kolbe and Louis de Montfort and, of course, Blessed Teresa Calcutta. She'll be a saint in a month. And people have asked Father, well, why did you follow up Marian consecration with Divine Mercy? And he said, because it is Mary who takes us to the pierced side of Jesus, and it is only in his pierced side, in the depth of his wound, that we find the font of all mercy, of all divine mercy. So doesn't he come out the next year, or 2 years, I guess, later, this year, during the Jubilee Year of Mercy, with this book, a 33-day program called 33 Days to Merciful Love, a program on Divine Mercy right on top of his program to Marian consecration, and people all over the world are making it. So there is this link between Mary and her message to man through her apparitions, our Lord and his message to man through Saint Faustina and Divine Mercy. And now you have in our own time this priest, among many, preaching the link between Our Lady's intercession and our Lord's Divine Mercy.
Yeah. In fact, I have the book right in front of me. It's not just a great link. It's a great evangelical tool for us to have those books to be giving to other people. As we said earlier about how many saints were influenced by somebody giving them a book about something that changed their entire life.
But I want to point out to our listeners that that has been your ministry for as long as I've known you. I've now had the pleasure of knowing you 34 years, literally half my life. And I have never in my life encountered anybody who gave away more sacramentals, more devotional readings, dispensed more life, love, support, counsel than you have. The back of your car, I want to tell our listeners, he has had a station wagon, and the back of it was filled with box upon box of these pamphlets and booklets that inspire souls when they read them to want to become better acquainted with their dear Lord and develop a deeper, more intimate relationship. And for every retreat, Bud will haul in box after box, and the men come and they count on getting it, and they devour them and they leave them and they read them, and it is a way to keep the faith alive and the fervor of their faith alive. I'm sorry, I just wanted to interrupt and tell our listeners that if they want any of this work, any of these books and booklets, contact In His Sign Network. We'll hook you up with Bud McFarland, and he basically is better than Amazon.com.
I find them to be good. No, it's a great way to begin, and not only just the books, but CDs now, and how many people, cassettes, and how many apostolates there are for these. Our own son, Bud Jr., has the Mary Foundation, and they are a leading producer of booklets and CDs. And Lighthouse has a bunch of wonderful ministries where you can get these very reasonably. And it's just, I never go anywhere without Marianapolis is explained in the CD or Seven Secrets of the Eucharist by Vinnie Flynn. I mean, it's just, I mean, people, I say, yeah, give them to your kids. You know, if somebody, I'm sure not going to ask, give them one of these. You know, it's not like you're preaching, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do it all and stick it in the car, you know.
Well, for any of our listeners who would like Marian Apparitions Explained, it's a tape that Bud McFarland did many, many years ago, is updated frequently over the years. All they have to do is call 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906, the number for In His Sign Network. Give your name and address, and we'll make sure that we get you one of those tapes. But I have to ask this question. We went through Rudabach. We went through Lourdes. We went and talked about Fatima. Is that the end of it? Has Our Lady had anything to say to mankind since 1917? By the way, we're in the 99th year since her words at Fatima to all mankind. Has she had anything to say beyond that anywhere in the world?
Oh, absolutely. Many apparitions... In particular, the apparitions in Akita, Japan, which Ratzinger wrote about, that's like a continuation of the message of Fatima. You know, which talk about the dangers and what could happen in terms of the destruction of whole nations relative to mankind being in the state of spiritual blindness that it's in today. So, yes, I could like to name a lot of them. Garbandal, which we don't get much. It's not approved because it's still happening to a sense, but it gets improved in terms of things that are in a positive state about it. That happened in during the Vatican Council, 1961 and 65 apparitions. A lot of Eucharistic aspects of it as well. But that one dealt in particular with the ultimate divine mercy, which we talked about the other day on another phone call. the illumination of conscience, which was the subject of in the beginning of the book Childless. That is the ultimate divine mercy. When this spiritually blind, indifferent world receives their particular judgment while they're still alive, I mean, could there be a greater divine mercy than that? And it's
and that is the time
many of my friends are talking about it. We need it. It's almost like it's, things are irreversible without that gift coming.
So, Bub, what you're saying is this Garabandal message was, and it's not been officially approved, as I understand it, but it's in process of being reevaluated. The message, in part, was of this event that would happen in a future time, maybe our time, maybe a time after this, who knows, but it would be a time when each soul all over the world, all 7 billion of us, would see our soul as it is at the moment of judgment, were we to present ourselves for judgment at that particular time before the throne of our Lord. Is that the message of Garabandal, part of the message?
That's fine. By the way, several other apparition guys have similar themes to them as well. But yes, that is the main one there, is about this ultimate divine mercy, the illumination of time. Or as they use the word, the warning. It's my prayer, as I mentioned in a phone call the other day, it's my prayer, or in an email, I said, every day when I come back from receiving Jesus, I ask for this ultimate divine mercy to happen as soon as possible to save as many souls as possible according to God's divine will. Because we certainly need it. The world needs it. And again, as my favorite encyclical is Mystici Corporis Domini, the mystical body of Christ and our union with Christ. We have the mission to, as Jesus' mystical body, not just a figure of speech, the actual mystical body of Jesus in the Catholic Church, to save every soul possible, just as that was Jesus' mission, save your souls from hell, and to do everything possible in our state in life to help that mission be accomplished, always, but especially today, more than ever before in history. So that's the, I always refer to the instruments of divine mercy, and to be instruments of divine mercy as part of the mystical body of Jesus Christ. And by the way, in that encyclical, at the worst period in the history of the world, June 29th, Peter and Paul, 1943, the height of World War II, the Holy Father asked us to pray intensely to reparation and to participate in the holy sacrifice of the Mass frequently, every single day if possible. That was then in 1943.
Well, Bud, we're going to wrap up now. I'm getting the signal from our engineer in the studio. But as you always have told us, one of the things in that great encyclical was the Pope's own words, where he said, "It is a great mystery that the salvation of the many depends on the holiness of the few." So even if many are not holy, there is a hope that many, many, many can be saved through the holiness of the few. And we, with eyes to see and ears to hear, who know that the Immaculate is the mother of the incarnate Word of God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have a special accountability to try to pursue holiness to the best of our limited ability and count on the grace through the power of her intercession, not for ourselves, but for others. That is the message of St. Maximilian Kolbe. He was a man for others, and we who are knights are called to that too. So on this great feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, I couldn't be more delighted, Bud, that you chose to spend an hour with us telling us about Our Lady's message to men in our time. We are very, very grateful, and I must ask you, would you please come back again?
Amen, and thank you for that wonderful quote. You said it all.
All right, we're going to ask all of you to come on back next week, Monday the 22nd, the Feast of the Coronation. We're going to have Monsignor Brian Bransfield as a guest. He is the General Secretary of the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops in Washington, D.C. Until then, we ask everybody to please pray and pray the rosary. and remember in His Sign Network, in your prayers, and in your generosity. Thank you.